Well, I'm just a devil with a love and despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I am the man responsible for the Cats Report on LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and in the Las Vegas Sun print edition 8 days a week. How's it going, Trish? Twitch.
Something's called me a twitch.
We've been hanging around so many impressionists lately. I was doing a little Elmer Fudd there.
You twit.
And I've heard you've done some Elmer Fudd in your life too. So what's going on anyway over there? How are you doing? Trisha McCrone, the beautiful, dazzling Trisha McCrone.
Thank you.
Joins
so
me this
sweet,
week
Katsy.
And every week.
Yes, Las Vegas publicist, national television producer, and
international celebrity.
Well,
woman of mystery.
There you go.
And a fine dancer.
A very fine dancer.
Fine dancer is no lie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very good. So we're just coming off the big holiday weekend.
Oh my God, was it a big holiday weekend?
It was. It was like, and it almost.
I'm
you know,
spent.
We all,
you?
I know. Yeah, me too. We almost literally were. I was almost washed off the road this weekend with the floods.
Yeah, how crazy was that?
They
huh?
closed down. You know, I drive down Sunset to get to where I was going, mm-hmm. the Mandalay Bay. And the railroad track there on Sunset, they had it blocked off both ways. Mm-hmm.
You're heading westbound on Sunset, and you can't get across.
Yeah, you can't get
you can't
across.
Get up onto the boulevard,
yes.
In other words.
So I had to go like all the way. It was crazy. It was chaos.
Yeah.
Lots, but we needed the rain. It's good, but the flooding's ridiculous.
You know, I have a thing about, we were talking about rain and Mandalay Bay and parking. I want to talk about this. We went to see the Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block show. New Kids
yes!
on the Block, Backstreet Boys show.
Well, to
Mandalay
me, it's just
Bay.
The Backstreet Boys.
It's just the Backstreet Boys, but they carried New Kids on the Block with them. They were both very, very good.
Former
guest Joey McIntyre was involved
and
in
actually,
the show.
And what was supposed to be our former guest, there was a little bit of mix-up. And yes, I'm not going to deny one of my very, very dear, close friends was supposed to be our guest last week, Howie Duroux. Howie D.
The Latin lover.
Yeah, that's what they say. And from Backstreet Boys, and mm-hmm. it, just to give a little bit of like a little bit of background, there is that I know I talk about lupus quite often, but how I met Howie is that, and we would have talked about this had the interview schedule worked out. But
I can do a little role playing. I'll be Howie.
Okay. Well, no, that's okay. All right, we'll move on from there.
Just tell me how to adjust my seat.
There you go. So he's. Obviously, I have lupus. We've talked about it, but his sister passed away of lupus in her mid-30s, and so it was very sad. And that's actually how I got to be friends about 12 years ago when I was diagnosed 13 years ago is through our lupus work.
Right.
And he has a lupus foundation, the Duroux Lupus Foundation, and we both do a lot of work with LA Lupus.
That was exactly how you met him.
Yes,
I thought you'd known him before that, but that,
no. I actually.
So this was at the peak of the Backstreet Boys.
It was the peak of the whole thing,
fame, right?
You know, and it was very, very funny. Is that I remember like asking him if he sang the Bye 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 song, and he's like, "No, that's NSYNC." So that was my introduction.
I stepped in it with Timmons. I said something about I mixed up my boy bands.
Yeah,
too, with Joey McIntyre.
It happened.
Said that McIntyre was an NSYNC, I think, and
yeah.
That was wrong.
But I got to know Howie as him and his family as, you know, not a Backstreet Boy, but as somebody who has been, you know, mm-hmm. very negatively affected by this disease and
right.
is doing a lot to try to bring awareness, lupus awareness. And we became very close and been very good friends over the years. And it was really good to see him at the show, went backstage and spent time with him and his wife and then, you know, we did a little after party and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually took Dana Roselli or Dana,
that
yeah,
was
Dana Roselli
Dana
and I went
Roselli
together.
And you were down there. And
yeah,
we were
second row. We were like,
you guys were happening. That was, this is hits into our big multimedia affiliation. You were there with Dana and I was there to meet Rachel Smith, friend of ours from
yes.
mine, dear friend of mine from Fox 5's More Show. I see them at least twice a month.
You're
on
their dream
team. I'm on the dream team. Or the nightmare team in my case, I kid. We were supposed to meet there at the Mandalay Bay at 6:30 to have dinner at Border Grill.
Yes.
And the rains came.
Let the rain come.
Here comes the rain again, as the Eurythmics once said.
Yes.
Rain coming down, as the Beatles once said. So it's pouring down, and I'm inside the I get there early, and I'm inside the hotel, and I get the evidence.
Because you always get places early.
This is becoming a theme, by the way. I'm at the place early. Whoever's supposed to meet me is late.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel, for not being, for making it not always be me. By the way, I owe her a thank you card.
We have a greatest hits medley for the shows you've been late to, but I love you dearly anyway.
I know. I love you too.
Gladys Knight, Recycled Percussion. What else? Chris Angel. and Divas Las Vegas, to name a few that
you've
missed.
Many, many more
Baccio
to add to
dinner.
That list. There's so many more to add to that list. It's funny.
If I think count, you were late meeting me at a Wayne show one time,
I probably
too.
Was. You know, what's very funny is that you've just gotten accustomed to leaving my ticket at the door. I like show how, up, they're like, are you Trish? Okay.
I like at Divas Las Vegas, I said, if the tickets are in my name, do you think you could get them? And I'm like, I already know the drill. Really. I really do. They're in your name, but I can make them in my name. No problem.
Exactly. I should just know to put them in your name at all times. So we're
supposed to meet at Border Grill at 6:30 for a show where the doors open at 7:30, supposed to start at 8, probably won't start until 8:20, 8:30. This is the time frame. I'm already in the hotel. I'm doing some work in there at Mandalay Bay at the Island Bar. You know, my Island Bar Bureau. I work everywhere. You know that. And I just bust out the computer and start doing stuff. And I get our reservation. I get seated. And Rachel says, oh, I'm caught in the rain. And I'm just getting into valet. And so I'm going to be a few minutes late. She's getting into valet at Mandalay Bay as a person who's a local media representative from Las Vegas who's going to a concert at the hotel.
And is going to air probably this morning.
Yeah, well... Yeah, be careful what she talks about now, because she goes to the valet attendant there at the hotel, and they tell her that she can't be parked. She can't park. Only hotel guests are allowed to park. She tells them who she is, and she says, please, can I park? We just told the hotel, they told her the hotel president had just been turned back from valet.
I don't believe it.
Now, that bears some investigation. I'll just put it that
okay,
way.
Okay, and can I just interrupt really yes. quick, though, and tell you that not too much after this fact, I do know somebody who pulled up in a Bentley and gave $20 and parked in valet.
Was it it wasn't the hotel president, because that person had already
No,
been...
exactly. No.
Oh, they must have had a room.
It was a friend. Nope.
Anyway, this valet situation, Dishy, and you know this as well as anybody, and because we go to a lot of places. I valet far more than I used to now. I know a lot
because
of people
of me.
we're in such a rush. But I do because I'm in such
late.
A hurry all the time. I never have more than $3 on my person at any time just for tipping. So they send her. Now, this is where locals get shafted by these resorts, by the way, because if you're a local person who's going to see a concert at Mandalay Bay, you're not going to have a room at the
exactly.
hotel. Okay? You should be at the front of the line, not told to go where Rachel was told to go, which was in the parking garage in the pouring down rain, and somebody broke down in that garage. She's sent into a traffic jam, either knowingly or unknowingly by the attendant.
And still, you're looking at a woman. I'm sorry. I look at that, a single woman still. I add that to the whole thing.
It's not a good thing. It's all bad. And she's in this garage for between 50 minutes and an hour down at Border Grill for us to eat. Now we've compromised the dinner, which is almost shot. The show opening, which I'm covering, by the way. I'm reviewing the show. We missed the beginning of the whole thing. And on top of it, and this was in an unrelated event, the waitress accidentally spilled an entire container of green salsa on my shoe.
So they were fine at the
Border
New
Grill.
Kids BSB show did not start out too
good. It started off a little bit on the wrong foot, almost literally. So, but by the time we got in there, we had a fantastic time, and I saw you guys.
Yeah, we were second row, and at some point I was first row. And it was very funny because how he recognized me, right? Like, you know, right away he saw me, he's like, oh my God, like, so I was funny because we were kind of interacting throughout the show and, you know, and that type of thing. And Dana was a New Kids fan. I'm obviously a Backstreet fan because of, you know, ever since the first time I met Howie and went to the first show, I became a huge fan of the band because him and his family are wonderful people, and the music's great, and the band is great, and they're very talented.
Are there New Kids people? Because I came into this completely,
yeah,
almost cold,
no,
other
no,
than our interview yeah. with McIntyre, and I saw him at the Lounge at the Palms. I wasn't sure about if there was a different demographic for these bands, but you're telling me that there are New Kids.
No, I think overall there's a lot of boy band fans that everybody, But I mean, I knew like two New Kids songs just because I live in America. You know, like it's like I knew two of them.
I know two New Kids songs too.
You know,
and
so
I also know two New Kids moves.
Exactly. No, I do have to, the one thing that I
step
do.
Thing
oh,
they
do, he's
when they
doing
get on
it
the
right
ground,
now.
They
yeah,
get
go,
on the ground.
Oh, 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 yeah.
Oh, oh, and 90% of their lyrics are some derivative of oh or whoa.
That's where, you know, I have to, but I mean, like I said, I was not a boy band fan until I became friends with Howie. And then I became a huge Backstreet fan. And then also started to like NSYNC and 98 Degrees and all the other once. But anyway, so I knew every single song by the Backstreet Boys. So it'd be like, I'd be all like pepped up, and then she'd be all pepped up with New Kids. Like Dana and I were like, I swear, for two women that, you know, we were the epitome of the perfect demographic for that show, because we were, between both of us, we were singing every song. We were dancing. We were taking pictures.
Oh, it was a party.
And I never even need
I'll
to use my
that.
Zoom. I mean, that's how close it was. As a matter of fact, I just posted a picture on my Twitter at Trisha McCrone. That's very, very funny of like how like the security guard, like I'm like all like, woohoo, Dana took this picture and the security guard's looking like, okay,
that's a great shot by Dana with him, with Howie looking back over
his
shoulder
at
you.
Like we're like interacting, and then all of a sudden there's the security guard like, okay.
It's great. You know, you get swept up in the moment. You know, I had Rachel was my plus one and she was on my right. And then we had Hedy Chang from
Channel 3
on my left. And then Don Cherunsi, who's a colleague of mine who actually edits my blog, The Cats Report, and edits Robin Leach's website, Vegas Deluxe. He was with Hedy. And then we were all focused on this guy who was in front of us, who had
the
to be
the guy in the blue shirt.
The guy in the blue.
Yeah.
The guy in the blue who's I would put him between 49 and 55 years old, right in there. And he was, he was rocking out. He was doing the steps and everything. And he got us so fired up that we all started doing it.
Yeah.
And this guy was my hero. And I said in the column, I want to start a kind of a long in the tooth boy band, a man band, if you will, with this guy. So be on the lookout for that.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see
We'll have him on Cats of the Dish.
Absolutely.
This will be an
I know. The guy in the blue. I hope that he saw your column because it's fantastic, and you have it's.
We got to get this act going.
Yeah, you have to find him, and we know someone that could represent him and put him in AC.
Yeah, possibly. Adam Steck, if you're out there, I got a proposal for you, buddy. We might have to take this baby to Atlantic City first.
Yeah, it'll blow
warm
up.
It up. Blow it up there. Find a room for it here in Vegas.
But things get weirder because it's all coming back to parking. Again, this is all going to come back to the problem of the parking. Is that Dana, very wisely, had arranged. She's like, you know, because I got stuck in the rain. She was there. Of course, I was late.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dana was on time, though, huh?
Yeah, she was. And
okay.
I had
Good
to.
For Dana.
Yeah, and I had to. And, you know, I had to go pick up the backstage passes, all that kind of stuff. So we were. Mm-hmm. We had to be there by a certain time, basically, is what I'm saying. And, of course, it wasn't happening.
Right.
You know, because I was late, of course, because I couldn't go all the way down Sunset. So,
you know, you're
Dana,
really late because you're you.
Well, exactly, that too. Well, and there's that.
The rain was incidental.
And there's that. So Dana says, I talked to the valet guy at the Four Seasons. You can park at the Four Seasons. That's where I valeted. And then you can just cut through to Mansley. I'm like, thank you. She's like, I've been driving all around. There's no valet at Mansley. There's no parking, blah, blah, blah. So we go and we do this. And I go and I get there and I'm like, I look for the guy and I said, Dana said, da da da. Well, I have this thing, as you know, that if I drink any type of alcoholic beverage, I don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is a wonderful thing,
right?
Because
often
that way.
You spill it. You told me.
I have a drinking problem. I spill it all the time.
Can't tell you how many rumplements I've thrown across the dashboard.
So anyways,
here in my Uzo mobile.
So of course, throughout the show, we're having a good time. I had a couple of cocktails, and then we were backstage. I had another cocktail, and then we went to the Backstreet after party at Gallery and had a couple more cocktails there. And so obviously, I was not going to be driving anywhere. You know, that was not going to happen. So I get home, and then I call you the next day, and I very kindly said, you know, will you drive me back to the Four Seasons?
I'd already agreed to. I've got a standing invitation to get your car anyway.
You do.
And
I mean,
told
that's
you
the
that
kind of a friend that you are.
Yeah, but I told you anyway. Nobody, I mean, that's a lead pipe cinch. I will do that for anybody. I'll do it for anybody to get their car. And then I had known that you were going to get your car at Four Seasons. No, not at Four Seasons, but somewhere.
Somewhere around Mandalay Bay.
On the 4th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That I was going to.
Absolutely was right. Was
that, you know, because I knew that I was going to have a cocktail. And of course, I ended up sleeping because I got home at 5:30 in the morning. I ended up sleeping the whole day away yesterday.
My whole day was shot.
So it ended up being kind of a late pickup. But you dropped me off at the Four Seasons valet.
Yes.
And they proceed to tell me that will be $22 for your overnight parking.
And you say, what?
And now, I mean, I understand that, especially in Los Angeles and every other city in the world, that pretty much that where you park, you have to pay for valet, which
right.
I get. If you eat and go and have dinner in LA, you are going to pay for valet. You'll
right.
pay $20 or whatever is for valet.
Right.
But Las Vegas is known for valet is tipping. That's it.
Exactly, yeah.
And so there I am, basically on the same property of the Mandalay Bay. They share the same, you know, like structure. And I'm being charged $22 because I didn't want to drink and drive.
Well,
that, and I didn't even stay at the hotel. That's what's so funny.
This has to be put out there because
I tweeted it, but it made me look like a hooker because I said they make you pay for overnight parking.
This is so untrue.
And it made it seem like I didn't, like I spent the night there at the Four Seasons and never went home.
And that couldn't be further from the truth. As I tell people all the time, I always get comped. Yeah, when you send that out there, it's like you have a valid point, and then it's like, okay. Wait a second.
I may look a little like a tramp after that one. That might not. I may want to revise that tweet.
Can you do the walk of shame 3 times in one day? I don't know. That's just another question.
Literally, I'm getting dropped off from you, like in sweats. Then on July 4th, like I'm not like in like my Louboutins and dress or anything at this point. I am like.
I think I called
out
on your way out, like, thanks for the date, baby.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so, but it just goes to show you that this parking situation to locals is very, it's not fair. And you, as you said it before, I mean, and if anything, people that want to leave their car in valet instead of driving home when they've been drinking or drive, that happens. It's Las Vegas. People go to shows, people drink, people have a good time. And you shouldn't be punished because you didn't want to drink and drive.
Mm, well, thankfully designated drivers help
exactly
alleviate all that
and
all
I have
issues.
Amazing friends like John Katsimatidis who
and gas
give me,
is up to $4 a gallon. Okay,
exactly. That's right. I owe you. But before we move on, I want to talk for one quick second about the fact that our first guest we interviewed which is Mayor Oscar Goodman. Now he's the former Mayor
Ex-mayor,
Oscar Goodman.
First gentleman.
And now he is the first gentleman, yes. But we were with him in his office his final day, mm-hmm. of being mayor. And it was so strange being in there and seeing, not the same office that we've always seen.
Looks like the end of a garage sale, doesn't it?
Yeah, like things have been moved out. And it was, and I know you have a long history with Mayor Goodman as far as covering him, and you're very close to them. And my family is very close to them.
He's
so
very
I sort
fond
of
the Macron Newton.
How I know him more. As a matter of fact, he was very shocked that I was actually going to be part of the interview because he didn't know.
Told him that we had this radio show, and I don't think he put together that you.
He's like,
although
really?
We had talked about it.
Is he talking with you? He's like,
I think he thought I brought you in just as someone to talk to him. I don't know.
Exactly, like just because I want to say hi, But
that's
so,
Vegas
but I have to say,
right?
it was a really a neat experience, and I want to throw out there how it was not actually during our interview, but Mayor Goodman gave you such an incredible compliment saying, wow, blown up like in a positive way, like blown up in all that you've accomplished from when he first met you, when you first came here. And now really your talent, which had your household name here in Las Vegas. And he had some such wonderful compliments to say about you. And unfortunately, they weren't on the air there before we started. So I just wanted
nice
to send
that
out to our guests.
Yeah, to bring that up. Yeah,
to our guests, to our listeners.
I've had quite a run with him. And my life has changed remarkably and for the better since he's been in office. And I can say now that he's leaving office, he's a buddy of mine. I like him very much.
And your life has gotten better that you're doing a show with me now, too.
That part of it is
also God, I always have to compliment myself in these situations.
Give yourself a little love there, huh? At Four Seasons. We need to announce
what's going
on. Enough
about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
Well, I think you're worth $22. Okay. As Dishy mentioned, outgoing Mayor Oscar Goodman, Citizen Goodman, will be our first guest, followed by Gregory Popovich from the V Theater, who's got the circus comedy Animal Act over there, Pet Theater, and also our friend Josh Bell with Movies. Don't go away!
Hey guys, this is Angel Perino, and you're listening to Cats on the Dish, with the Dish, on the Dish. Do it again.
That's a whole new show.
What?
Cats on the Dish.
Catsy. Sorry. Cats on the Dish.
Cats on the Dish. Cats with the Dish.
What is it? With or on?
Cats with the Dish. Alright. You ready? Okay. Get into character.
Hi guys, this is Angel Perino and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Welcome back. We're in the office of the mayor of Las Vegas, who at the moment is Oscar Goodman, but by the time this interview airs, our mayor will be his wife, Carolyn. Oscar Goodman took office in 1999, and it has never been boring in all of his 3 terms. The mayor has a well-earned reputation of speaking what he thinks when he thinks it.
He's been an endorser of gin, an escorter of showgirls, a proponent of downtown redevelopment, and even an actor in such movies as Casino, and that happened before he was mayor.
Boy, I'd love this job.
I know.
I love that. I love that job description.
Thanks for being with us once more.
Well, it's great.
For another day, Oscar Goodman. It's always a pleasure.
And
my pleasure.
And the happiest mayor in all of the universe, and the favorite mayor.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had a great ride. I've enjoyed every single day, and I'm going to miss it. There's no question about that. But I'll do something that will make me equally as happy, because that's the nature of my personality. I'll find something that will take up my time, and I'll be productive and make a little bit of money even.
You gravitate toward happiness, or maybe it's the other way around, huh?
Oh, I don't know. I've always been a happy person ever since I've been a youngster. But when I was practicing law for 35 years, particularly the day of the reputed mob here and the cases that I had around the country representing these folks, they were tough days. And anybody who pretended that it was easy work, they weren't good lawyers, that's for darn sure.
Reputed.
And, well, they were reputed because and many times the juries came back with they're not guilty. So I wouldn't want them labeled a mobster if they didn't deserve the label, let's put it that way.
You've always said that. The first question I have for you has to do with your tenure here as the mayor.
Good.
The business of mayor.
Right.
First, if you could list what you feel today as you leave office are your actual biggest achievements that you've been active since you've been in.
You know, it's interesting. I've been asked the question several times today,
right,
and it's always the same answer. I would think that if I really didn't believe it, another answer would pop in my mind. But basically, it's the acquisition by the city of Las Vegas, where I was instrumental in the acquisition of the 61 acres, which we now call Symphony Park. Mm-hmm. Without having that, I'm not sure that any of the revitalization that we're so proud of in downtown Las Vegas would have taken place. I think that it would have continued to go towards becoming a war zone, like the inner cities that I had visited while I was actively practicing law, that I didn't want to see happen here in Las Vegas. I wanted Las Vegas to be a vibrant community, and the downtown was the core of it, so to speak, the core of the apple. And I said right from day one, when the apple begins to rot, the bushel rots, and it has a reverberating effect, and everything turns sour. When we got the 61 acres, we were able to call it the jewel of the desert. And because I come from a background different than most mayors, I was listened to. If I were a podiatrist, I guess, who became the mayor, even though I like podiatrists.
Nothing against podiatrists.
Nothing against anyone in the field.
I have sore feet.
I probably have really sore feet by now.
I like podiatrists, but if I were a podiatrist, nobody would have listened to me. But being the mob lawyer turned mayor, they listened, and the New York Times began to write stories about us, and U.S. News and World Report a cover story, and the phone, which had not rung for the first 4 or 5 months that I was up here, began to ring, and it hasn't stopped. Even with the economy being as lousy as it is, the phone still rings, and there's still projects, and we wouldn't have had the wonderful premium outlet that is unbelievably successful, the World Market Center with the three wonderful buildings, and now their partnership with High Point is going to make it even a more special location. We've got the stinking IRS building, but the good news is they pay Las Vegas taxes every year, which is
their own taxes.
That's a good thing. And we have the Belaski Southern Nevada Water Authority building, which is terrific. It's a LEED certified building with public art in it, just a wonderful place to work and to visit. We've got the phenomenal Frank Gehry designed Lou Ruvo Brain Institute with the unbelievable Cleveland Clinic staff coming here and manning it, working on these neurodegenerative diseases.
The city address was from that building.
It was very, very
standing.
It was very important. Very important to me that we have academic medicine here. I think it's going to be our whole way to diversify the economy when we have a wellness facility here. Cleveland Clinic affiliated people from all over the world are going to come here the same way they've gone elsewhere to these kind of wellness centers, and I'm very excited about that. The city set aside three parcels of land on that property for them. And then, of course, we have the Smith Center for Performing Art, which is going to put us on the map as far as real culture is concerned, where we'll have Broadway shows, we'll have wonderful plays, we'll have opera, we'll have first-class ballet, we'll have the Philharmonic. It's going to be phenomenal. And what that has done is it's energized the other side of the railroad tracks to attract further investment. And I would say the acquisition of that 61 acres, had we done nothing with it, would have shown a commitment on the part of the city that we do believe in our future.
How about the flip side of that question and goals that you had coming in or that you built along the way where you fell short?
Only one. I had worked so hard to get David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, to say that he would have no objection to having a franchise here in Las Vegas, and was able to achieve that after biting his head for about 8 years. He came in here and he said, okay, I'm not going to stand in your way. If the owners want it, you'll have a franchise here. And the problem is we can't get anybody to turn the shovel in the ground and to get an arena. That's been my biggest frustration, because I feel in order for us to become the world-class city, right now we got the best entertainment, we got the best food, we've got the best gaming, we have the best shopping, we have the best of all those things. But in order to be a world-class city, you need great medicine, we're on our way there. You need great culture, we're on our way there. And you need great sports. And you asked for my disappointment, that's the only one.
Now, is that something that the new mayor is going to try to make happen?
Yeah, the new mayor has already started to try to make it happen. We went back to the Conference of Mayors 2 weeks ago in Baltimore, and she left the meeting and met with Blake Cordish, who is the a gentleman whose company we have a exclusive agreement with to develop an arena site and a live entertainment site. Those complexes are around the country and very successful. And he said at the end of the meeting that he's going to be going to Goldman Sachs and to the other investors and come with some hard figures and really get down to working on this project. So she may have been able to do with a wink and a smile what I haven't been able to do with a gavel.
You are very handsome, she's much prettier than
There's
you
no
are.
No question about it. No question about it. I fell in love with her legs. I really did.
Well, maybe the legs is all it's going to take to get the NBA team.
I don't know what she was doing with this guy, but he had a smile on his face.
So now you have been known to always come with your showgirls. Are you advising her to maybe get a couple Chippendales with her every
No, year? What she says that Chippendales, she loves Chippendales. And she loves the guys from Down Under. She loves all of them, but she says they're not really Las Vegans.
Sure.
She says the showgirls are part of Las Vegas. They are Las Vegans. And she's been grooming me for a showgirl position. I'm walking around with high heels now at home.
Good.
And I've got...
I heard the headdresses are a little difficult to walk in.
I got the feathers on my head, and my right arm is out like this, and I'm feeling very comfortable in that role now.
But seriously, is she going to take as much of a ceremonial role as you did in the job? Because I know that she handed out her poker chip
because
campaign.
Because Carolyn is so respected for her intellect that people sometimes forget that she's a pistol. Mm-hmm. And she has a very good sense of humor. And I think she will show that tomorrow when she begins her reign, if you call it that, as the mayor. I'll swear her in, and I think she's going to bring smiles to people's faces right away.
I mean, you do 3 or 4 personal appearances a day, typically.
Right.
Is she going to be able to carry that schedule?
Oh, well, that was one of the decisions she made when she ran for mayor, whether she was well enough, healthy enough, vibrant enough to do those kind of things. And at the end of the day, she concluded that she was, and she said because of that conclusion, she wants to carry on the good things that we've started here, and she's going to be a great mayor.
As far as tomorrow, what happens tomorrow to you? Obviously, you'll do the swearing in and everything, but then let's say the day after that. Is it going to be strange to not walk into this building?
Not really. I've got about 4 or 5 interviews scheduled this week for positions where hotel executives have asked me to meet with them. I don't know what they're going to propose. Couple of restaurant-type proposals. I've had one already, which is very exciting.
To open a restaurant an existing restaurant?
No, to open a restaurant, Oscars.
You've talked about the speakeasy.
Well, that's the same concept.
Okay.
Same concept.
And it would be here downtown, I imagine.
Yes, it would be downtown. And we've already met on that, and some very exciting plans are being proposed. I'm going to be working part-time for the Convention Authority as the brand, and we'll be bringing in tourism, hopefully. Now, I don't want to work too hard. In any one job, I want to do a lot of different things. I've never worked for anybody in my life. I'm not going to start now, but some law offices have made wonderful proposals to me to be a rainmaker, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And, do you really instinctively envision yourself doing? Is it operating a speakeasy, making that the hub of your universe?
Everything, a little bit of everything.
A hotel, I don't know, a hotel operator? Is that the kind
of... No, I don't know what they have in mind, but I have a meeting tomorrow with one and a meeting the next day with another, and we'll see what kind of proposals they make. I guess I sort of represent Las Vegas as the brand. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to use me for that purpose to be the brand for their project.
And you've talked before we went on about like a People's Court type of
have an interview.
Hosting judge show.
I've got an interview in 8 minutes. I have to leave here because I have an interview on that today.
Oh, we won't make you late for that.
No.
But do you think that is something you would want to do?
I don't know. I don't know if it's big enough and fun enough. I don't want to do anything that copies somebody else. I don't want to be like Judge Judy going like that. She's very successful at that.
Another wardrobe.
Right. It works for her, but I want to do something that's me. And I'm not really sure what that is. Other people find me interesting. I don't find myself that interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to drinking at 5. That's the extent of my ambition.
At this point. I don't think we have to ask what you'll be drinking.
No, absolutely not. And we'll be talking to Bombay and see what kind of role they envision for me.
Do you think that
me.
They'll come back and want to do an endorsement thing
with
you post-game?
We'll see.
I've wanted to ask you, and I don't know that, I think I've been in your presence when you've been asked this question, but I haven't asked it. What and this has to do with the entertainment media. Either your favorite mob-related movies or your favorite movies about Las Vegas?
Well, of course, Casino has to be at the top.
Well, of course, because you're the star.
I am the star.
Exactly.
I'm the star.
I am. Wait, why are you laughing? De Niro will he'll tell you I'm the star.
I think you're in for about 45 seconds.
It doesn't matter.
The stealer of the movie.
He is a scene stealer.
You know, as a matter of fact, where was I? It was remarkable to my wife and myself. I know exactly where I was. Last weekend, I took Carolyn away. She hadn't had a day, hadn't had a second off since she filed, and we went down to Coronado. And of all the things, I went into the supermarket there to buy some olives. And we are checking out, and the woman behind the counter, the cashier, said, "You're the guy from Casino."
Wow.
Started screaming it.
I love it. 1995.
And I promise you, and I haven't told this to my wife, but if you see her out there, because she's going through a indoctrination process, and you ask her, what the woman at the supermarket said, she will tell you exactly what I said, because it's the honest to God truth.
I mean,
it's remarkable. It really is.
Wow.
So, yeah, Casino's great.
Other than
great.
Casino.
And then the last CSI I did got an awful lot of attention with Ann Margaret, because people came up, they say, "We saw you in CSI. Now, which one was it? Which one?" Ann Margaret, right. So I'm meeting with one of the writers from CSI this week, too, and we'll talk about that as well. So I got a lot of things in the pot.
Well,
and who knows? Maybe it'll be a new act between Wayne Newton and myself.
I think that's a good. I think that considering
kind
he considers
Martin
you
Lewis
one of his
revisited.
Best friends, I have
absolutely.
A feeling that he would jump at the opportunity.
As far as
to
I'm concerned,
there's
not
you.
A better entertainer. So who knows what's going to happen here?
Well, we have to wish you the best.
And I thank you for everything.
And it's been a long and
it's been a good journey.
Roller coaster,
but it's been good, and it's going to continue. I'm not disappearing.
We wish that I speak for many of us Las Vegans, if not all of us, that we say that we wish that you could be mayor forever. But if anybody had to be the new mayor,
well,
we have a fantastic.
She's going to make you proud.
Mayor,
I promise you that.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a million. I appreciate
thanks
it.
For spending time.
Okay.
You.
That's great. Thank you.
Viva, viva Las Vegas.
Hang on a second. You guys already went ahead and found someone and was coming here?
Big time.
Not we. Dale.
I found himself. A guy. Yeah. And it was pretty easy. It's easy as buying a used futon.
You found a hitman online.
Yeah. And they don't write hitman, right? Because that's dumb. So they use little code words like wet work, right? Liquidation. Check them out.
Skilled professional with years of experience in domestic and international wet work.
That's Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day plotting to kill their bosses in the new comedy Horrible Bosses. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at movies opening in theaters this week. Horrible Bosses starts from an appealingly dark premise, but unfortunately lacks the fortitude to follow through with the truly black comedy inherent in the idea. Instead of embracing the concept of three friends who want to commit multiple murders, Horrible Bosses works too hard to make its characters likable. And while it has a few amusingly tasteless jokes, ultimately it amounts to a lot of lost potential. I give Horrible Bosses 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is A Better Life, a drama about a Mexican illegal immigrant in Los Angeles and his efforts to provide for his teenage son.
Hey, so can I have the money or what?
You want money? Come work. You used to come with me on Saturdays.
What? I had to stop because of soccer.
I haven't played football in years.
That's because that league sucked, man.
If you need money in this world, Luis, necesitas trabajar. And you need to work.
A Better Life is well-meaning and sometimes affecting, although it feels a little forced and a little false in its efforts to engage with serious issues. The acting is solid, and director Chris Weitz creates some emotionally affecting moments, but overall, A Better Life doesn't quite reach the audience as effectively as it should. I give it 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's opening in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So, viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
You are listening.
Adventure on Cats with a Dish.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the mastermind behind the comedy Pet Theater at V Theater at Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood Resort Casino. The show is a circus of house cats, dogs, parrots, geese, and even mice, they say. A total of 30 performing pets are in this cast. There is also juggling and physical comedy performed performed by the man joining us today, a fifth-generation circus performer, the great Gregory Popovich. How are you doing, Gregory?
And we can't forget, wait, Zeta and Orange are with him as well.
Yes, I don't come alone. I bring my furry stars, Zeta and Orange, and I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, Zeta is the one who is not Orange.
Exactly.
Orange is not the one who is Zeta. See how I deduced the names of the pets?
You're smart.
Maybe I'm like the mentalist. I can figure out these
there
cats.
There you go. Right off the bat, I want to make this very clear because I believe that the story of how you get the pets, these are two beautiful cats here, but talk about for your pet theater before we get into anything. It's wonderful how you obtain your pets.
Yes, for me, it's very important. During my show, we try send message to audience. So look, these pets from shelter, and they're talented, they're nice-looking pets. And if you folks maybe have interesting to have pet in your family, maybe first you visit to the local animal shelters. And if my message come to the audience, I believe my mission complete.
Right, yes. Right, adopt.
Yes, especially now with all the animals being abandoned, it's such a wonderful message.
Yeah, foreclosure crisis has really been terrible for house pets. The shelters in Las Vegas have had a tough time.
I heard a lot of sad story about this.
We need more Gregory Popoviches out there to start shows and adopt these pets.
Yeah, in another unit.
Right. There you go. Now, how many pets do you have in total that live?
We have right now even more than 35 pets, but we count mice, birds, doves, parrots. But cats, we have 12 cats and 10 dogs.
Wow. There's a lot of cats in the studio right now, aren't there?
Yeah. You can hear them purring.
You can.
It's
I can
so
hear
amazing.
Them from here. Yeah.
I love it. They're so happy.
Now, Gregory, I have to tell you, I'm asked about my favorite interviews that I've done over the course of my career in Las Vegas. So every once in a while when I talk to people and they ask me about, because I interview people in so many different environments, so many interesting people. And I always bring up an interview that we did that I'm not even sure you'll remember. It was after I saw you on the Penn & Teller show, City Spectacular, that they did on FX. It was about 1999 or 2000. Right in there.
Yep.
And you were at Circus.
Yes, I went to my beginning.
Yep, and I went to see you the Monday. It was a weekend show, and I went to see you the Monday after the show at the Midway there.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We sat down, and you were in full costume, and you had stars with you at the time, at the Carousel Bar.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I asked you how you trained your cats. And I'll ask you again, because at the time I had two cats, and you said, after I described the behavior of my cats, you said, "Sounds like your cats train you."
Yeah.
And now, how do you manage to... these cats jump through fire. They jump on a dog on a trike.
Yes.
How do you begin to train a feline?
This very important, find out their natural habits. As you imagine, cats are very independent animals, and mm-hmm. you cannot push them or make voice command like with dogs, do this, follow me. So all I have to do in the beginning is spend a lot of time with Kitty and see what they like to do, what their natural habits. Because each cat has inside their body some kind of trick which they do voluntarily. When they have fun, they would like play with ball. Another cat would like to walk around the leg. Another cat would like to sit down on the top of the shelf. And as soon as I find out what they like to do, I create trick based on their natural habits.
So if you have a cat that likes to wander through your legs, I've seen this.
Yeah.
You build a routine where
you
walk.
Yeah, I let them do what they like to do.
Right.
So, and because this is show business and show must go on, I share a secret with you and with your audience, how it's happened every day. Because each day cat have different mood. And during the show, for each trick, I have one or two kitty, or two or three kitty can make same trick. And every day is different. I come to the one kitty. I don't even have to come. I see this kitty don't pay attention for me. Look around, especially when I am on the tour, they always try to find something new mm-hmm. smells. Mm-hmm. And I see this cat don't want to jump. they're interesting to do. This particular cat would like to do smell, check smell. And I right away go to another cat and grab this cat to make same trick. So in my real life, every day is kind of a little bit different show.
Oh, wow. So it depends on the star's temperament and what they want to do in a particular
exactly.
time.
Now, and you also, I mean, you have your daughter in your show as well. I mean, is that, how did that come about?
It's like typical for circus family. She grew up among the pets and grew up among the circus, like all showbiz. And for her, it was no question what she would like to do. And in the when she was a child, she helped me, and she loved pets. It's very important when you work with pets. It has to be not only job. It has to be like lifestyle. And I like in my family, my wife, my daughter, they pet lovers. And this is like all over the house pets, and it's very important be pet lover, not like just a job. But eventually she grew up and she would like to test some her own career, and I let her go for a couple years, 2 years. She was on her own project, and this year she come back, join me for again with pet theater.
Now, how did the idea of the pet theater come about?
I grew up in circus family, and for me was working, even living with pets, it was very natural. And my first babysitter, my first friends was pet dogs of my mom. And for me, build communication with pets easy than sometimes with human. And when I came to United States and I start thinking about build some bigger than one, my act, I think about to do something unusual. And instead present pets, do simple trick like in the circus, I start thinking about create some small sketches, small play, if you wish, you can use this word, where pets, kitty cat and dogs acting as actors. We build situation, they of course doesn't play like in real actors, but they in situation like we have act called Dog Classroom. They sit down behind
the
desk.
Oh, so cute. One of my favorite.
Yeah, they ask math question. And audience like this way because it's kind of new angle participate animals, pets and show business. So they do very simple trick, but like my dog go to the microphone in the beginning of show, dress as MC and just introduce my show. They're barking a couple times. And the audience laughing, and when I first step did this way, I realized audience give me direction. Instead, ask pets make difficult tricks, I just rather find some humoristic situation.
Right. You were in the Moscow Circus, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
How was it that you arrived in the United States?
Oh, my God. It was 1988, first time I came to the United States, and I first came to Las Vegas. We work in Thomas & Mack Center, 1988. It was, my gosh, it's more than 20 years, 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's plenty.
Yeah.
So
long ago.
And it was a different town, believe me. It was like a few streets. And Valley View, it was end of the star, end of the town, Valley View.
Mm-hmm. Which,
and from those moment, I always have dream come back to the Moscow, to Las Vegas. It was like I don't know why, but I fall in love with this town because this really capital of show world.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to the Ringling, after Ringling, as soon as I got engagement from Circus, I have the same time engagement to Cirque du Soleil as a juggler, and the same time Circus Casino. And because Cirque du Soleil is a great company, but they doesn't give creative freedom of entertainer.
Really?
Because they make production. It's production around 10 years. Great production. But for me, it was time when I looking for some new way, new opportunity for myself. And I'm kind of say thank you very much for Guy Laliberté. He's a little bit upset because he's juggler. He beginning juggler.
And
that's his artistic form, right?
He know me when I win many international competition as a juggler, and he told me, Gregory, join my circus. It's great circus for you, but I choose Las Vegas, which I never say, oh, why I did it. No, I really appreciate circus give me roof, give me stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's beginning.
So it was instrumental. Your first job, then, if I'm not mistaken, would have been with Ringling in the States?
Yes.
From the Moscow Circus.
Yes, Ringling, and then Circus.
And this is when the former Soviet Union broke apart and you had the freedom to to travel.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. I was first Russian who circus performer who ever joined Ringling, and it was like we those time like three or four famous hockey player Fetisov, Kasatonov, and other.
Oh right, they joined the NHL.
They also fight to legally not defected like Baryshnikov, Gadunov, famous ballet dancers.
That's right, they defected.
They defected, and I have family, mom and dad. I cannot put them in position like they under legally. It was big problem. So, and when Gorbachev announced open door, and as soon as Kenneth Field invited me, we have a lot of like I hire lawyer in Russia, and we fight for legally leave Russia for 2 years contract, and it's happened.
Wow.
Wow,
that is
that's
American dream.
I know the American dream.
It really is.
Exactly.
Now, when I spoke with you, it was very early in your career in the States at Circus, and I believe we talked about this at the time. How have you been able to maintain any kind of? How have you been able to stay on stage without being protested off the stage by the people for ethical treatment for animals? Because they don't like any animal acts.
I have few letters from PETA, people who joined PETA, and when they come angry to, they come to see my show with anger, they already mm-hmm. have some position. Mm-hmm. And then when they see the show, when they see how I'm acting, and then after the show, I explain them, look, here's the situation, those pets in the from shelter, and if you know what's happened with shelter, it was very sad. I really appreciate people who do job in the shelter, they do their best. Mm-hmm. But homeless pets, so many, and after 2 or 3 months,
they get euthanized.
They have to euthanize. And in this case, because I work only with house pets, it is not wild pets who live in the nature.
Right.
Pets and dogs cannot survive in their life and without a human. So we make peaceful agreement, but they don't push me too much because they see I do best for the cats. Mm-hmm. And they visit my house. They see like it's a member of my family. And thanks God they understand it is like a lifestyle for myself and for my pets.
They're leaving you alone then?
Yep. Good. Yeah, keep finger crossed.
You never know with PETA, that's for sure. They could surface it at any moment.
That's true. Now, what have you been up to? You took a little bit of a break.
Yep.
Here in Vegas. So tell us what you've been up to.
Excuse me?
What have you been up to since you took a little bit of break here?
We traveling last year. We started touring all over the country. I used to travel, but last 5 years I built my new home in the V Theater, and I have a lot of invitation come back to the one state or another. And we build a lot of new acts: Fire Marshal, Dr. Dolittle, Dog Football.
Dog Football!
Yeah, Dog Football.
I have to come back.
Yeah, it's a lot of new act.
We should have a betting line on dog football. Bet on it. Put it up on the sporting book.
And we decide to take a tour to join our new talented pets to the different states. We're traveling through from Chicago to Florida, New York, San Diego, more than 25 states. And after 3 months on the road, everybody say, my assistant say, Gregory, when we come back to the home?
Yes.
Because good on the road, 1 month, 2 months. After 3 months, of course, it's became difficult, and we're happy to come back again to Vegas.
Yeah, it's difficult on the people and also difficult on the animals.
No, not because we, when we're on the road, we have like two people stay in the special custom-made trailer for the animals with a air-conditioned heater, and because they're traveling every day from casino to the home, they used to know how to travel. So nobody go to the hotel until pets feel comfortable. We have water, we have a heater, so it's rule on the road: first pets and then human.
People should have such accommodations when they travel. In the intro, I spoke of a couple of animals in the act that I haven't actually seen, geese and mice.
Yeah,
are they used on stage?
I got the geese, like three geese when I visit to the shelter. Sometimes they're strange, like rabbits, parrots. Mm-hmm. And I see the geese. I say, how geese can come to your shelter? One old lady in the farm, she living outside Vegas, and when she die, nobody know what to do with these geese. And I think it will be interesting to try to do something because I never work with geese. And with geese, it's interesting. You have to find out leader, make deal with leader, make agreement. and they follow. They follow the boss. Yeah. You don't make a practice or try to do something with other team. The leader who main in this company, you should make deal with them. And where does the leader go? All rest of geese family.
It's like a geese union.
Exactly, exactly.
They have all have a little union card. You have to deal with the union president. Wow. So what do they do on stage?
Oh, they imitate, just walk around the circus ring, and one of my performer imitate like he's like horse's liberty. He walk around this way, but they follow special line. And this nice looking bird, why not? And yeah. The audience, usually it's always, wow, his first reaction.
Well, the whole show is really wow. I mean, it is just, like I said, I saw it four times. And now I obviously there's new things, so I have to come back, and everybody should come back and see it if you haven't seen it already. It is one of the true family shows in Las Vegas. Did you strive to do something that can be for all ages? Is that what you wanted from right
exactly.
from the start?
It is very important. It doesn't build special for the adult, but you know, when ask how you can entertain kids, you should make sure parents entertained as well, and then the kids will be. So you don't have to build show like kids not smart, kids not. Not educate, not adult enough, understand. The kids very sensitive, and they very, how say, they understand, undermine, they understand true. If you try to make play with them like with kids, they will be maybe feel after 3-4 act, after like 20-30 minutes, they will be lose attention.
Right.
So my show usually on the road, like 2 hours. In Las Vegas, I work only 1 hour. So I compress everything for 1 hour, so we don't have any empty spot, and it has to be like a big tempo rhythm, and very simple. Kids have to understand, and as long as kids understand and adult people also, parents understand what's going on, this is top class variety acts like juggling, acrobats. So it's combination of human talent and pet's talent. And when we put together the show, we try to, like, one act it's pet, next act human. And the audience, by applause, have to kind of judge who win. And believe me or not, my pets always win. They have more applause.
I somehow believe that. Yeah. You know, we have, Rick Thomas is doing a stint down at the V Theater with his exotic animals, the white tigers.
No, he's going to the Saks Theater.
Theater.
Yeah,
down
but
the street.
It's same company,
down the,
same
down
David
the
Saks
hallway.
Production.
Sorry, yeah. And also we got Dirk Arthur, who does his thing over at O'Shea's. Now, have you ever thought of using exotic animals and branching out that way?
No. Speak the truth. First of all, I would love to work with house pets, and then my policy use the house pets. It's keep me out of the spot.
Yeah.
Any animal protection, animal rights group. But meanwhile, they are so talented. We have plenty idea for new act. I don't looking for take some any extra.
You've got,
extra.
Got your hands full. It looks
yeah,
like.
I have.
Oh,
like
and I just love hearing them purr.
I know they're
just
really
purring.
They're really loud.
Hear them. It's so cute. They're so happy. But no, I mean it is sort of when you see it because they are animals that anyone could own.
Mm-hmm. Ordinary. That's a key.
Yeah, that's what makes
ordinary
it so special.
Ordinary pets make something on ordinary stuff. But I would like share one funny story because for me it's when we spoke about circus. First of all, I'm so grateful for this place because when I came with some crazy idea to Mike Hartzell, entertainment director, I told him, Mike, let me do act with cats. I said, Gregory, do whatever you want, but be careful with animals, so gently. And then I come back to him and say, can I do act dog school? Gregory, you don't have enough worry about? Okay, if you would like, go ahead, do it. Then I come back. Every year I bring some new act, and he always let me do this because this place kind of free for any creative dream. And after 5-6 years, when I work with Circus, I already built like a 1 hour show. But during this moment, I work in Circus, I believe 7 years. I never hear like Megabucks win. And my when I train my pets, I always practice applause, or sounds of the music.
So they don't get drums. Thrown off by anything.
Yeah, they used to know some regular sound of the show. But one time during the show, one lady win megabucks. And during like 10 minutes, all casino running, exciting, and those drop coins dropping. Ding, 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 ding. This moment, my pets stop watching me, turn around, and they all 10 minutes looking what's going on with this megabucks.
They're probably thinking, why didn't we win that? Like the rest of us who see
that. I was playing that machine last night. Meow, meow.
No, it's new sound for them.
Yeah.
But more funny, the audience understand, they're laughing. And they all also waiting until those megabucks, all drop coins, finish. And then I able to finish my act.
Then they knew to come back.
Yeah. Right. I have to say that your show is one of the best, one of my favorite shows
of
all time.
Oh, I can't wait to get back over to it.
In Las Vegas, and it's perfect for families. I've taken my niece a number of times, and it's one of those, whether you're 2 or 200, it is an incredible show.
It's at V Theater at the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood daily at 4 p.m. And for info, go to vtheater.com for ticketing. Thanks, Gregory. And thanks to the, it's...
Orange and Zeta.
Orange and Zeta. Zeta.
Thank you very much. I would like just remind to all listeners, remember, animals are people too. You should respect them and just pay attention.
Yes, well put. And I know a lot of people who are animals. All right, for all of us, thanks a lot. Gregory, we'll do it again.
City gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. I got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there, they're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. Oh, I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in a day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, the blackjack and poker in the roulette wheel, a fortune won and lost on a every deal. All you need's a strong heart, nerves of steel. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas with the neon flashing and the one-armed bandits crashing, all his hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I wanna be from the one, I'm gonna have me some fun if it costs me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swinging time. I'll give it everything that I got. Really look, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot the seven with every shot. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas.